Blog Talk Radio.
You're now logged on to listening to the Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com. And I'm Alan.
This is Kevin.
And this is Jen.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for you all tuning in to the livest and the best show on blogtalkradio.com. We have a great show planned for you all today. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend, stayed out of trouble, and made it home safe with your family and children. What up? Stay out of the heat. It was extremely hot this weekend, too.
Yeah, oh. you talking about being safe and all that good stuff. You wild out.
Look, man, I'm grown.
You wild out? What you do?
Nothing. Nothing, Jen.
That sounded a little too innocently to me.
I didn't do anything. I stayed at home and ate popcorn and watched Redbox movies.
Mm-hmm.
With a friend?
By myself.
Yo, he sure no stayed at home. Fight neighbors, call the cops.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jen, how's everything going, man, on your side of the road?
It's going well. It's, like, hot, but, like, if you're in Georgia, you know what I'm talking about. But today was actually kind of cooled off, so... that was really, really nice. And so school got started here this past week. So you got to see all the neighborhood kids go to bed on time, which is awesome. They won't be outside making noise. And besides that, I've been also looking at, you know, the news. A lot of important things unfolded this week. The previous week, our credit score as a country dropped, which was very devastating. And also our stocks plummeted this week. You know, some, you know, at one point I think it was like over 100 points it dropped, but you know, by the end of the week they started to go back up, so that's good news. But I have a lot of friends and family and people that I know that are looking for jobs, and I wasn't surprised that, you know, the president's job rating, the overall unemployment rate for the country is still at devastating levels. And you know, it's just that we need to pull together as a country and not look at just our elected officials, but, you know, ourselves and think of things like, what can we do to solve these types of problems?
That's true. That's
true. Ain't going to work with that, man. They want them out. They want them gone. That's all it is to it.
Yeah, I think so, too, man. They've just been... This time it's going to be really hard, I would say. During the election process, I mean, you have a lot of candidates out there who are running. This time, a lot of Republican candidates that I have been seeing so far, I don't know if I've even seen any.
Well, they had the debate this
Democrats,
week. I don't know if you watched it. The Republicans had their candidate debate in Iowa. Michelle Bachmann,
right,
who I think is like the devil, she ended up coming up on top, you know, but it's very scary. I don't know if any of you got a chance to watch it, but it's some of these opinions and some of the things that, you know, some of these people say. It's very scary to think that they could be running our country very soon.
Well, what's that dude that just announced he's going to run for president from Texas, the governor, former governor?
Oh, yeah, I heard he was an idiot. I heard he was an idiot and that he was very dumb and that he was even dumber than Bush.
He's very dumb, but he will be the next president of the United States.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
No. Follow me. Mark my words. If this guy becomes the next president of the United States of America, y'all get ready for hell on earth. That's all I'm going to just tell you now.
I think that the country is a lot smarter than what people give it credit for.
I'm going to explain it to you later. I'm gonna explain this one to you later.
I really do.
I don't know what
last,
I'm talking about.
I think maybe you were among the critics, you know, in the beginning, who thought the country would never elect Barack Obama. But we did. There are a lot of smart people in this country.
No, I didn't say that, Jen. This one right here is a little bit different.
A lot of people thought he would never be elected. And I think that people don't want that same old dumb politics.
Well, forget about
anymore.
It. I just said there was a meeting that our president went to before he became elected 2 years in advance. And this same cat went to the same meeting. And, looks like we're going to have another president next go round. Mark my word. If it's true, the world has changed in front of your eyes, and you just ain't seen it.
We'll see. We have a lot of, you know, to our listeners out there, we're going to do a political show, and we're going to talk about a lot of political movement that's going on in the country right now and what's going on. So, you know, stay tuned so you can hear, you know, our opinions, and we're going to give a little feedback and explanation about things that are going on in the country.
Right. Oh, yeah. Dan, I never asked you this, but what are your thoughts about Herman Cain?
I think that I don't know, that's like the black Republican guy, right?
Mm-hmm. He's the new version of Armstrong. Armstrong Williams. That's all he is.
Yeah.
I think that he's a classic Toby syndrome. You know, like, a lot of things that he say, you know, I have family members. I'm African-American. I have family members that are Republican. So I'm not saying just because he's Republican, because a lot of people are what I wouldn't even call Republican. I would call fiscal conservatives. But I think that I've heard him say is disturbing, to say or downgrade things, like, for instance, affirmative action, to be against or to eject things that may have helped you yourself get in the position that you're in now, and to always, you should always have in your mind that you are a minority too, and you should have empathy and understanding for people like yourself and want to help people like yourself, but to down your own people or to be totally unempathetic, you know, is disgusting.
Right. Most definitely. At the end of the day, go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was going to say one thing about him is the fact that just like what we're talking about, entrepreneurs and exactly black entrepreneurs, Herman Cain was a black entrepreneur at one time. Like Jen said, a lot of the programs that were out there that helped him secure the position that he has now is on the backs of others, and he just want to act like that's null and void. I don't understand it.
And I think it's disrespectful. I think that when you get in a certain position, I think you do have a responsibility to not only yourself but your community to reach back and give back and to help, because someone helped you. Someone lended you a hand. Someone did something for you, and you should be eager to do that for your community as well. If we don't take on that mindset, well, look what's happening today. Look what kind of environment that we've created today is that people have forgotten that you just don't reach back because it's something to do. You reach back because it's a responsibility.
That's right. Go ahead.
That is true. I would say, you know, due to, you know, some of the things which we've seen in the past, people using certain levels of their life to get over on people to get what they need in life and not giving back, that's going to be a continuous cycle due to which we're going into now, and that's something that we're going to discuss on the political show that we're going to do in the future as far as with the middle class. And Kevin and I had a particular talk earlier today as far as the discussion about the middle class work as far as due to the financial status is really going to hurt them, and it's really going to kill the poor. And that's something that, you know, it scares me, and it scares the children, well, it scares me for the children behind us. And also due to the student loan situation, that's another situation that I think we need to discuss as well. So people that, you know,
just like making away too many show ideas, man. Too many show ideas. Somebody else gonna jack us. Chill out.
I understand. But I want to let everybody know out there, you know, make sure you're gonna read up on information about the student loan criteria and the student loan situation that they got, that they're changing now. So make sure that if you have a child who's entering college or you're in college now, make sure you read up on the new student loan law and the criteria for it. So please pay attention to that as well.
Yeah.
So
let them know what we're talking about today, man.
Now, today, we're going to spotlight some black entrepreneurs. And pretty much today, we're going to give, we're going to interview three black business owners. And the guest in which we're going to interview today, one of them owns his own pharmaceutical company. The other one owns his own scenic creation company. And the last one that we're going to review has his own hunting company. Our first guest, his name is Hiawatha Harrison. He owns Global Pharmaceuticals in Columbus, Mississippi. And he will be informing, you know, how he started his company, some of the things in which he's done to get to where he has got to this day. And our second guest is Samoan Greenwood, and I'm suspecting his father will be calling in as well. He and his father owns their own scent and fragrance company from Jackson, Mississippi. And they also sell lamps as well, too, to go along with the fragrance. And our last guest of today, which is Rodney Johnson and also Benjamin Rush, they are owners of Impulse Hunting. They are a black up-and-coming hunting company in which they will be informing about the particular company squads, what they will be doing, such as creating their own TV series, clothing line, you know, competing in hunting competitions as well. So we have some pretty interesting guests today. We want everybody to, if you have any questions or comments that you want to speak with any of these of our guests, make sure that you dial 718-508-9972. If you're on the chat board, place your comments there. We'll definitely get to them. And if you have any questions for our guests today, we'll definitely get to them as well. This show is a great show. We're going to try to continue doing this every now and then, and also on every episode, you know, we're going to introduce a new black entrepreneur or a entrepreneur, independent entrepreneur in general. We want to help out those who are on the come up, get their product out today. You know, this is the reason for this particular show today. And we're excited to have our guests tuning in and calling in today.
Okay. Sound like a little old man over there for a moment. Bill Rathers.
Chill out, man.
Finally, Nick walk in the building.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm here. Don't, pardon letting you know, it's traffic out there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we know. Signing autographs at the stoplight, yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Signing little baby foreheads.
Wow. Okay. All right, well.
Hey, what's been going on with you, man? We're talking, as you already know, the topic of the day. Black entrepreneurs really, just to be in our community. This is something we definitely need to spotlight more often, because nowadays with all the disparity that you see with people not having the opportunity to have jobs and things of this nature, it would definitely help our communities out if we can support businesses in our own community and also rebuild from that standpoint. So definitely, we definitely need to make sure we continue to help bring and shed light to these businesses right here. And Al, go ahead and take that away, man. Seems like we got our first guest to tune in.
Okay. Now we're going to bring in our first guest of the day. His name is Hiawatha Harrison. He is the owner of Global Pharmaceutical in Columbus, Mississippi. We're going to go ahead and bring in everybody.
Okay, we got something wrong with that line right there.
Okay.
Yeah, we needed to get him to check that line right there.
Okay, one second. Let me see if I can get in touch with him right quick.
All right, Jen.
Yes.
What do you think about, like, a lot of people out here that are trying to start businesses? I don't think a lot of people know about the SBA. Or are you guys familiar with the SBA Small Business Association? Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
You can check your local colleges, state colleges, or whatever. They can help you draw a business. You know, you said it before. You got to have a business plan to be able to come and start your own business, show out like 5 years worth of work that you will be able to conduct to show that the growth of your business can happen so you can get that loan. So y'all never heard of the SBA? Okay, let's...
No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and see if we can bring our guests back in and see if this line is pretty good. How are you?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
You got it. Everything's good.
All right. Go ahead and take it away, Al.
Yeah, we appreciate you calling in today, Mr. Harrison. We want to let you go ahead and explain, you know, what your company consists of, you know, how long you've been in business, where you're located, and what type of service you provide and who you serve with your business.
Okay. We're a DME company, a durable medical equipment company located 3600 Blue Cut Road, Suite 8, Columbus, Mississippi. We do hospital beds, home oxygen, bedside commodes. We actually set people up in the home as if they were in the hospital.
Okay.
We're licensed in Alabama and Mississippi. We do CPAPs, BiPAPs, the whole spectrum of the DME field.
Okay.
We have two licensed therapists, a pharmacist, the office managers, two secretaries. We are accredited, nationally accredited. We deal with Medicare, Medicaid, Alabama and Mississippi, most all insurances, Blue Cross, TRICARE, App, Aetna, you name it.
Okay.
We are in just about all insurances network.
Okay. Is there, like, any other particular criteria that you all look for as far as potential clients with your service?
No. Mainly what we look for is insurance. We could run an individual's insurance, find out whether they've had the equipment that they're requesting from us. We have to have doctor's orders.
Mm-hmm.
And we do go to clients' homes. Some may come to the office, but...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oscar, how long have you guys been in business?
We've been in business since 01. My wife and I have owned the business since 04.
Okay. Okay, and what made you decide to go into this particular field right here? Because as we all know on the phone now, and everybody that's listening out here worldwide, that the medical field is pretty large, and a lot of money can be made in the medical field. But what were some of the things that drove you towards this lane as far as doing this particular type of business?
Well, I'm a registered therapist by trade.
Okay.
And this is part of respiratory therapy. It's called a home care side of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a medium that's wide open. Like I say, you could do pretty good in it. Just make sure you stay on the right track and
right.
Stay focused on what you're doing.
Okay. What about, I guess you would say, aspiring respiratory therapists, would it be anything that you, what would you recommend for them, like as far as if they would want to start off with their own business or maybe starting off working under somebody, which would be a good route for them to do this?
I would advise anyone to, if you are in the respiratory field, get your experience through hospital work.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go off in the home care field, find the market that you feel would work for you. Get all your licenses.
And what are some of those licenses you would you suggest?
You have to be a licensed therapist. Medicare, you have to have federal ID numbers, Medicare, Medicaid ID numbers, private insurance ID numbers. it's a long process, but the end results are worth it.
He says, well, the process, from a scholastic standpoint, would you need to go to a specific type of college or a specific type of school to help you obtain those type of licenses?
No, you wouldn't. Anybody could open up a business, get all those licenses, but you got to have licensed personnel working for you. You don't have to be a licensed respiratory therapist to own a DME company. You just have to have licensed respiratory personnel working for you.
What are some of the challenges that you face as far as with your business? Because, I mean, you know, small company, but you have a large area that you cover.
Right.
What are some of the challenges that you face?
The biggest challenge that we have faced is the turnaround on putting out equipment, the payback, as they call it.
Okay.
Getting your money for the services that you provide. That's about the biggest challenge. You have to have a network where you can get your equipment. You can walk in Walmart, Walgreens, and get some stuff off the rack, as they call it. Other stuff, you've got to have companies that you can get a line of credit with and get you a net with them where you don't have to pay them back the very next day, but get yourself some time to pay them back.
Yeah. Okay.
And make sure you can get your money from your whatever insurance entity that you're dealing with, plus the customer.
Okay. Okay.
Now your primary. Yeah, go ahead, Jean.
Oh, when you were first starting your business, and you like, what were some of the things that made you just? I know. I guess starting a business is a scary and adventurous thing all in itself. Like, what made you say I can do this?
Stepping out on faith.
I keep hearing that one. That's a common word right
there. And being confident in what you're doing, making sure you can provide the services that you say you can, and doing it in a timely manner.
Okay. Okay. As far as being a black business owner, is there any particular struggles that you encounter as far as being a black business owner?
Just, there are times, you know, your color do may cause you some problems, but you have to keep your head up and keep going forward. There's always negativity in anything. There's always naysayers. You keep a positive attitude, have professionalism about yourself. Over 3/4 of the time, people overlook who you are as opposed to what you're providing. So that,
What was the biggest problem that you first faced when you started your business?
The biggest problem I first faced starting the business . You know what, that's been so long ago I can't even I really don't know what it would have been, because we have been thriving from the time I initially started the business for two business owners, and since we've had it, we hadn't missed a beat.
Great.
So I was
great.
In it from the ground up, and we just kept doing what we were doing. Got our accreditation and got over that hump. And just been moving forward ever since.
Okay.
Now, I would hate to backtrack. I would hate to backtrack on this one, but your company, respiratory therapists and all that, you're primarily dealing with people, family members and stuff like that. Do you find any challenges dealing with, you know, I noticed you said you go into homes and, you know, you help the family as far as get them in a good setting in their home with your equipment. Do you run across any problems with that? You know, with
yeah,
some of
your
clients?
Yeah, you know, you got it. You have people that have, I call it kindergarten degrees, that, you know, feel they know everything and can tell you how to do your job.
Yeah.
You know, but you just have to deal with it like I said, keep a positive attitude. Let them understand where you're coming from, why you're doing what you're doing. Answer any questions they have. And, yeah, even have people going on the internet getting stuff. As soon as they get it, they call you, well, this thing's not working right. Can you fix it? I can't work on anybody else's equipment.
That's true.
Right. You know, so the internet is a good thing in some sense, but when it comes to, like, medical equipment and stuff, you can really mess yourself up by going online getting it because you're not going to have that maintenance service that's required on any equipment.
That's true.
Okay. Okay.
So,
what would you say would be like your next business move or future endeavor as far as with your company now?
As with the company now, we are getting more involved in diabetic supplies, diabetic shoes, which we been doing for quite a while. The three of us, all of us going to school, got our diabetic certificate and stuff. We deal with the shoes and the strips and the lancets and meters and all that, and we're pushing diabetic supplies and equipment now.
That's very important, especially in our community.
Yeah, I was just about to say
very
that's extremely important.
Important
nowadays. Do you see
yourself
expanding? You know, you talk about being licensed in Alabama and Mississippi. Do you see yourself expanding to maybe Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee?
No, been licensed in Georgia. With the cost it takes to even go to Georgia, we've been through that before. And we just left Georgia alone because the patient load went down. And it costs more to go see five patients because you're losing a whole day.
Okay, yeah.
But the financial is just not worth it. So we're going to stick with Mississippi and Alabama now. We don't see no expansion crossing any other state line.
That's a good model right there. Did you ever have approach like the small, we was talking about the Small Business Association earlier. Did you guys have to approach any entity like that as far as for your startup?
No, actually, we started up and still doing it, marketing hospitals, doctor's offices, clinics, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Once we can get our foot in the door, we can show them what we can do and our quick turnaround on doing, filling orders that they sent us. They're very much satisfied with our work, and the orders just keep coming in.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense because I would imagine that you definitely would have to have a great working relationship with the hospitals and also the suppliers that supply you guys for everything that you would need to conduct your company.
True. Every year I go to what they call a Med Trade show where everything I need is there and it's, you know, you can catch it at a good price at these type things. And you buy in bulk, and that holds you for a while, and it keeps your costs down.
Which makes a lot of sense. EI Sam's Club, y'all.
That's pretty much is what it is, because you buy in bulk when you go.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. Harrison, we appreciate you. Could you just give everybody a brief history on your company again and let them know where you're located at and how they can get in contact with you if they have families in these particular states?
Okay, yes, I can. We are Durable Medical Equipment Company. We're located at 3600 Blue Cut Road, Suite 8, right across from the Social Security office in Columbus.
Okay.
And we provide set up just like people are in the hospital, a hospital bed, home oxygen, CPAP, BiPAPs, diabetic supplies, diabetic shoes, bedside commodes, walkers, canes, manual wheelchairs, rollators, which are the walkers with the seat on them.
Mm-hmm.
We're open from 8 to 5. Our number is 662-240-0460.
And once again, we thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to let everybody know a little bit more about your company. And hopefully we will see better and bigger growth for you guys in the near future. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys letting us on your show.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a good evening.
All right, you also.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Al, definitely with the diabetic side of it, man, we definitely got to take care of our people. That's a big thing that's going on in the African-American community, especially with the quote-unquote stigma that our great state of Mississippi have with our fried food. Just like that lady was on 106 Apart said, we fried Kool-Aid. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I ain't never heard of fried Kool-Aid. I'm from Mississippi, and I ain't never heard of fried Kool-Aid.
Now, you know they recently changed. Their studies recently changed.
I know. Because,
you know, they had us listed as the most unhealthy, the unhealthiest state. And Texas blew us out of the water.
Wow. Right? Well, Al, we're going to let you. That's crazy right there. But Al, we're going to let you go ahead and bring in our next guest. Let everybody know who's coming up right now.
All right, to those listening to the Middleman Talk Show today, we're now bringing in our second guest of the day. His name is Mr. Greenwood. He owns his own scented and lamp fragrance company. And I met the son, Samoan, in the mall when I was in Jackson one day. And I informed that I was going to bring him on our show, man, so we can discuss about their product and their company. So we're going to get into this interview right now. Mr. Greenwood, are you on?
I am. Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. How about yourself?
We're doing great. We appreciate you for taking out the time for this brief interview about your company today.
Thank you, sir.
Would you start off about, you know, giving us just some background information about your company, where you are located, who you all serve, and, you know, if maybe somebody could reach you all who may be interested in getting some of your product.
All right. First of all, I'd like to say I appreciate you having us on your show today. And this is a family-owned business. My son, Simone, as you had mentioned, is on the line as well. My wife also is on the line, Lisa. And we are a family-owned business. We started out in our home, and the Lord has blessed us so that we just to branch out so we could cater to everyone. And right now we're located in the mall, North Park Mall, and our business is called Scented Creations, where we, as you stated already, we have lamps and oils. It's what we do, and the oils are scented oils for your home, for your cars, and we do also sell body oils. This is what we have. And some of the difference between our oils and other oils that you may have come in contact with or may be familiar with, our oils are not water-based, they are not alcohol-based, they are strictly oil-based, so they will burn longer. And also, one note, yes, sir.
That, I was just about to ask you that, too, because I've noticed that a lot of kiosks and a lot of the malls do offer the oils. And what are some of the therapeutical things that your oils can do for people? Because I know certain smells can make people feel better. Make your home feel a little bit more homely, if that's even a word. But what are some of the things, the benefits of the oils that you guys have?
Well, now, one thing you look at, too, the different types of oils, and as you well know, oils do set different moods and do motions, and as you said, therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I myself am a allergy person. I take shots monthly. I take a shot once a month for allergies, so I'm very sensitive to certain things. I can't be around certain colognes and things like that because it would trigger my allergies. But with the oils that I've had, I've not experienced that. It's not to say that it's free of that, but I've not experienced it, and I am, like I said, one that is very sensitive to that. So the oils, because they're not alcohol and water-based, they're more pure, and they do set a very delicious, I would say, fragrance for your home. Mood that you can set because of the different types of fragrance that we have, you can put one for just about any mood that you want to set in your home or car, for that instance.
Okay. Yeah, because I purchased two scents when I was in Jackson. I was speaking to Simone, and I love them. I bought one lamp for my office, and like that first day that I brought it in, it took over the whole office, and like everybody was like, "What is that? Where did you get that?"
Right, right. And see, on that note, I'd also like to say this about our lamps. Our lamps are not fire. We don't deal with the tea light candles. We do no fire at all. our lamps are lamps. They're lights. So one thing I like to stress, too, is once you burn those tea light candles with the oils, if it gets overwhelming to you in your home or wherever, you have to blow those candles out. With my lamps, we have them where they are adjustable. All you do is turn a knob on the side of the direct plug-in, or we have the corded lamps where you can adjust a knob on the lamps as well. So you can turn it up and down instead of having to blow it out. So only thing you have to do is just add oil to it every couple of days or so, depending on how hard or how much you burn your fragrance.
Wow, that's good right there, because I'm fearful of some of those older style lamps where, you know, you got to stay up and watch them, because if they burn out, oh my God, they have a nasty smell to them.
Right. Well, like I said, these doesn't burn like that. And if you happen to leave home and leave it burning, you don't have to worry about it again, because it's a light, it's not a fire. And you don't have to wait for the candles to burn down, and you don't have to go and buy candles again. Again, these are just strictly lights.
Now, one question we would like to ask you is, especially with your company, and it's one of those type products where some people will buy and some people will not buy. Were there any challenges when you started your business, you know, just keeping the momentum going as far as people buying your product year-round? Are there any challenges with that?
Well, to be honest with you, when we first started, the business went out by word of mouth. And once I started, my first few customers came out, and I had a few cards that I did pass out, but by word of mouth, once one started talking about it and it got out that way, then it began like a chain effect. So there really wasn't that much of a challenge once people saw it, because one thing about the lamps are a decorative piece, first of all. So if you don't even turn the lights on, they are a decorative piece for your home. Then if you turn them on, you're getting the fragrance from it, and it lights up to show it as a bigger decorative piece. And also they can be used as a nightlight for if your grandchildren or if your children comes over or whatever, you can use them also as a nightlight. So that part of it really wasn't that much of a challenge. It was just the fact of getting it out there.
Right. And did you have any challenges outside of word of mouth? Do you guys run any radio commercial, television commercial, or do you just use the general traffic of the mall to help you guys build up your base of customers?
At the present time, that's what we're using, just that, the traffic and by word of mouth. I'm looking into now getting on radios, and that's why I appreciate you so much for inviting us on your station to help us get it out there now.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. We also have Facebook and the cards.
Right, our business cards.
Different avenues, right. It's different avenues, you know. It's always good to be able to pass out a card here and there. And, you know, we have displays and things that that we let people see. So, you know, yeah, it's different ways to let people know.
Family members get on the job.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine, because like Al was saying, if you have a particular smell in the place and you walk in, it makes you feel like, man, what is that? I got to have it. Do you guys have any particular scent that you would like to tell everybody that this is the one, the top seller, this is the one you need to get? No matter what you do, just get it.
Well, I'll be honest with you, there's one that has hit the road running, and that was called Coco Mango.
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken over. Previously, I had Lucy Pearl Brazilian Breed were my top sellers. And they still do good, but the Coco Mango, after gotten it in, it just took off.
Wow. Mostly females or males? A little both?
Well, the pretty walls are for anybody. They're for everybody.
Okay. Do you have anything specifically gendered? You know, like some are just for men, or some are just for women. Do you have anything of that nature that's designed for that?
Body oils.
As far as your body oils, like now, that. let me make sure I clarify that. As far as your body oils.
Right. We do have different things of body oils. You know, we have also the name brand body oils at that. As far as like Ed Hardy, Michael Jackson, we have Ralph Lauren, Dolce.
Hold on, did you say
Honor.
Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson has his own body oil. So, you know, it feels pretty good, too. That's the thing.
So, for everybody out there, if you want to smell like the king of pop,
the king of pop,
You got to head on over there and pick you up some body oil.
Wow.
All
right.
We also,
even
right, we also have them for women, too. We also have them for women, too. I mean, from Patti LaBelle to Kim Kardashian to Beyonce, it doesn't matter.
Now, in my town, just, you know, me and my family, we're mall. We everywhere, every city we go, every state we go to the mall. We just that type family. Now, what would set your display apart? Because I see a lot of kiosks. Are you guys in the actual store, or do you have a kiosk?
We have a kiosk. We have a kiosk,
okay,
there. Now, I'd like to plug this in one thing, too.
Okay.
We also have a set up at downtown at a place called the Steamboat.
Okay.
You can also find our products down at the Steamboat.
What's that address?
Off of Jackson. It's off of Capitol Street.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you happen to have that number where, just in case someone may be driving, because we got people that are listening all across the country where they could be driving through down 20 and go through Jackson and maybe like, man, I need to smell good before I get to my destination.
Okay. We'll be more glad to hook anybody up that comes in there. And you know, as you well know, that the different chemistry, your body chemistry, the oil smell different with you. So we have one there that you can smell, you know, samples where you can test out to see what smells good on you.
That's right.
Right. One quick question I wanted to ask. One thing that's really important to us at the Middlemen Show is family. That's something that we are very adamant about. Can you talk about, you know, the thing, because family-owned businesses, it seems like nowadays they're becoming less and less. Can you talk about the importance of having a family-owned business?
Okay, the family-owned business. It's the thing where once I believe in, I'm a Christian man, and I believe in a family that prays together, stays together. So I think once you put something together with a family, you've got a unit there where you are showing not only just the unity that's there, but you're showing others around about you that there can be unity and stabilization within a family. And it helps build the family. It helps build the community. Because if you start at home, then you can spread abroad and you can build your community even better when you start at home and showing that there can be unity that's there,
mm-hmm,
putting it together. So
that's
it shows the stability that's there as well.
It also helps to strengthen the family ties that we have by working together and showing that families can work together.
That's
mm-hmm
true. That's a good sight. And that's something we definitely need to see with you guys, being in a most visible place where people can see. How many of you guys work at the spot at one time? Is it one per, you know, one per time, or do two, you know, most of the family be there?
Most of the time we have one there, but on occasions we have two of us that are there. And we stretch it out like that.
Okay.
Yes,
that's good.
Yes,
that's good.
Most times you'll see me here. Just a moment talking to you. Most times you'll see me here. You know, you just try to make sure that somebody does stay here, though, because, you know, we don't want to miss anybody. We want everybody to be happy. You know, everybody loves to have their house, apartment, business, church, anything they have smelling good. So, you know, basically, as long as the mall open, we'll be here.
All right. Once again, could you give everybody the name of your company and your phone number, how we can get in contact with you? And do you guys have a website?
The website we don't have yet. We're working
uh-oh
on that.
That's why we are here. We are the middlemen. Y'all need to make sure y'all stay in contact with Brother Allen over there. We got some people we need to link y'all up with.
Most definitely. I just did that. But again, the name of our company is Scented Creations. The address is 1200 East County Line Road, North Park Mall. Also, the Riverboat Shop at 210 East Capitol Street, Suite M135. And our number is 601-573-8382. Or, Simone, go ahead and give him your number.
Yeah, you need to reach me. My name's Simone Greenwood. And my number is 601-906-9726.
All right, we definitely thank you guys for tuning in with us today, and hopefully we can help you guys spread and get a little bit more business out there for everyone that's traveling out there, going through the mighty state of Mississippi, make sure you stop in and pay these wonderful people a visit. Once again, thank you very much for calling into the show and letting us know a little bit more about your company.
Thank you very much for having us.
All righty. Alan?
All right. All right, we're back. And, wow, interesting. Interesting company service that is needed, I would say. Wouldn't you all say?
Yes, yes. I need to smell good. I need my what's that? Man, I'm so old school. Old Spice, baby.
Old Spice?
Oh, man. What the? Old Spice? You might as well get some brew.
Let's move on to the next guest because Kevin ain't talking about that. We're going to go ahead and bring in our next guest because Kevin ain't a fool over here. These are some guys, young black entrepreneurs who started their own hunting company called Impulse Hunting. They're from Mississippi. One goes by the name of Rodney Johnson, the other one is Benjamin Rush. We're going to go ahead and bring these two intelligent black men in so they can inform them about their hunting company. I know everybody has a lot of questions about their company and being African-American and hunting. You know, that's kind of different for me because I didn't grow up hunting, so I don't know anything about hunting. But let's go ahead and get these guys on and let them talk about their company. Hello, Rodney and Ben, y'all here?
Yeah, we here. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate y'all for calling in the show today, man. We want to let you all talk about your company and, you know, how you all started, you know, what's the next endeavors for you all that you all want to get into and what type of services that, you know, you all provide with your company and what you're looking to provide and who you're looking to provide the service for.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you for having us. And, you know, the way we got started, me and Ben, we've been hunting all our lives. And like you said, hunting is something that a lot of people are not exposed to. About me and him being from the country and, you know, growing up in that type of situation, we just hunted all our lives. And we got to looking at how much money really that we spend in hunting and, you know, watching it on the TV and how much we spend in Walmart. And we got to thinking that, you know, this may be something that we want to tap into. So we started filming ourselves, I'd say, about 3 years ago. And right now we're currently have a hunting production coming in. We're trying to launch our DVD. And pretty much we're trying to get picked up by a network or either get signed by a bigger corporation right now. As far as our hunting going, like I said, we're really just trying to take this hunt to a whole another level, exposed, you know, break boundaries with it. Because like you said, a lot of minorities are not exposed to the hunting. You know, you may pass through it on the hunting network on your TV and see it, you know. But as far as us breaking boundaries with it, we feel like our company will be able to do that as far as Impulse Hunting. So,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you explain to our listeners out there what type of hunting methods that you all use when you all hunt, and either bow and arrow or guns, what you all use as far as your expertise?
Well, we use bow, rifle, and bows, but we've been using our bow a lot more lately. We're really, you know, deep into bow hunting. And the message that we want to relay to the public is family values. It's a lot to be said that you can relate the, you know, hunting to actual real life. It teaches you patience. It teaches you hard work, perseverance, and also dedication. And first and foremost, it teaches you discipline as well. And we feel and know that if we can expose these lessons, these life lessons that you can be learned through hunting, through some of the public that is not exposed to hunting, we could be making, you know, major ground. And exposure is really one of our biggest things. We want to expose the part of the public that is not really into hunting or really just don't know anything about hunting. And the love that we have for hunting, the love that can be shared through the outdoors, you know, we really feel and know it should be, you know, exposed to different segments of our society.
Right. I got a question. This is Kevin with the Middleman. If we wanted to take our co-host Jen out to hunting in the middle of the woods, what are some of the things we need to prepare ourselves to do? Because I got a friend that hunt. Ain't no way on God's green earth I'm getting up that high in a tree and that early in the morning. But what are some of the challenges and some of the things you guys face as far as getting people to understand that it's a fun activity. It's also helpful as far as when it comes to gaining meat and, you know, filling up that little deep freezer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The first step is just getting them out there. When you see that sunrise in the morning time, there's no other words to be said or couldn't explain it. Once you hear those birds chirping and seeing those squirrels and birds, you know, running around, and you see your first deer, it's a feeling that you can't explain. And you have to be out there in the outdoors. You can watch it on TV all day long, but to actually experience it for yourself in, you know, the wild outdoors, that's really, you know, that where the love of hunting really comes in. That is the actual exposure and the actual experience of being out there in the woods.
Right.
But also, with one of the things being said, that getting them out there in the morning time, that's kind of been one of my biggest hurdles as far as exposing kids to it. And, you know, because you have to get up so early. Most times we're out there, we're out there before daybreak. Like he said, it's a real discipline sport. You have to have your scent right, because a lot of people think, you know, how hard is it to go out and shoot a deer? You know, but it actually, like I said, me and Ben, we use a bow. It takes a lot of technique. You have to, you know, they can't smell you. You have to be up there and be set up. And with us filming, it's extra hard because we have to get our camera up the tree. We have to film. We can't shoot until somebody, you know, until we actually have the deer in footage range.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of hurdles. And like I say, introducing kids to it, that's one of our biggest steps, is getting them out to bed early at 5 in the morning and keeping them still, you know, not running deers off. But, you know, that's something when we take the kids out, we take them to, you know, some of our deer houses. And that way they can move around a lot more, you know, in the deer house and shoot it. But that, just getting them outdoors. Off the PlayStation 3, out of, you know, off the streets, or just something different, you know. And that's something that we really want to bring with this company, and, you know, people seeing us on TV, seeing our DVDs in stores, telling, you know, just something different, I think, that we have to offer.
Right.
I'll
say this much, you know, because I'm an experienced hunter myself.
What? Hold on.
What?
No. Let me tell you. No, my uncle used to take me up to Columbus, you know, and he would take me out, you know, and show me how to shoot and everything. I shot a rabbit in the foot with my BB gun when I was 11. I'm telling y'all right now.
Lies.
I'm telling you. But no, dude. Okay, seriously, though, from the aspect of, just like you said, getting those kids off the PlayStations, off the Xbox and everything, you talk about just the exercise aspect of it, because, I mean, it's you really get out there, you get to running, you do your thing. It's, you know, in your case, you're using bows, so it's a lot of technique, but there's also a lot of finesse that you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
So just from the exercise aspect, you know, how good is that for everyone?
The exercise aspect, I mean, Ben can tell you, we do, we put a lot into our hunting as far as scouting.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times, like I said, we don't really use ATV because they're so loud.
Exactly.
So we may walk over a mile just to our stands, hauling the equipment, the bows, you know, things like that. We're pretty much out walking around all day long. He can tell you, during hunting season, we lose 10 to 15 pounds every hunting season.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and him, we kind of get in these macho matches, so we'll drag the deer, you know, home sometimes.
Wow.
We're
talking about maybe a couple of 100-pound deers. You guys are carrying deers.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, they have a technique where we can just put it on the harness and kind of drag it. So
drag
it's not like we just, hey, man, throwing it over our shoulders. so we drag it on the harness. But like I said, it's really, really challenging as far as that goes, working out, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And just putting up stands in the preparation, like I said, rabbit hunt, dove hunt, quail hunt, any type of hunting, we do it. We do it.
Rabbit
hunt included.
One thing I would like to ask you guys in reference to you guys' DVD. Now, I'll be honest, I sit down sometimes and I watch the fishing shows and I watch some of the hunting shows.
Right.
One thing I noticed, there are not a lot of African Americans in that realm.
Exactly.
Now, what will you guys bring different to that particular genre outside of what we're already seeing? If you do, you know, like some of the people that do watch it, what are you guys bringing different?
Well, you see, we're hunting is more realistic. You know, we don't have the 1,000, 2,000 acres of land. We hunt on small parcels of land where the deer are really spooky. They didn't heard gunshots. They looked up in the tree and seen people in trees before. So
So, you know, to us, we have a bigger challenge of just hunting spooky your deer. And these deers are not, you know, they're spooky, they're shaking, they've been chased by dogs, and you know, it's just our hunting technique shows you the way hunting really is. You know, you see on TV, you walk out in the woods, you see a 170 class buck, but you're just walking out in the woods, and then they kill it, you know, and then show over with. Here, you know, it's more of a reality of the way we hunt and the location where we hunt from. It takes a lot more planning, it takes a lot more strategy. And it takes a lot more technique just based on our geographic location and where we're hunting it.
Right.
So it really kind of takes a lot of those. I've seen a hunting show before, and a lot of the times it just like you said, it's not really that realistic. Like, yeah, you guys are going out there, but you're going out with all this equipment, all this tracking stuff and everything. I think from your standpoint, it's kind of more educational for somebody who might be just starting to get into hunting.
Yeah. It's more realistic. Like being said, a lot of those hunts you see on TVs are people spending $4,000 and $5,000. Pretty much, they have the deer picked out before they even get to the place. You know, it's not really realistic to what the everyday hunter faces. Like I said, us being, you know, two young black men, I think it's just be more of a realistic thing to see us on our own farm. Like I said, we do shoot a lot of does. You know, every now and then we'll take a trophy class buck, but realistically, we are realistic hunters. No, it's something, realistic fisherman. It's something that you can relate to. Like a lot
so
of
you
people
guys
can relate
do fishing
to
also?
That big of a deer. Yes, sure do.
Okay,
so
you're some of the fishing. So you're doing the whole game aspect of all, you know, that type of sport.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't realize it is a sport. And I know Jen is over here freaking out because we're killing Bambi. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of quiet. You know, I'm not as far as, like, PETA or anything, but, like, you know, I don't like killing animals.
But you know what? We've had that battle also with people, but and I think about that is when you're driving that $300,000 Lexus down the road and deers are too old, just about to jump out, you know. So
we love it too until they run out in the middle of the highway.
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah.
Somebody need to kill off these deer.
Oh yeah. We play exactly. We play a huge role. Hunters do in herd management. And people don't realize that is a major role. Role to take, because here, just in Lafayette County, they're thinking about extending the hunt season and allow bow hunters to hunt within the city because there's an overpopulation of deer. So hunters play a very major role in keeping that herd in check, you know. So, you know, the population of deer, you know, have risen and it's still on the rise. And just like what Rodney was saying, with car accidents and also with farmers, with crops and with gardens, you have to look at the total aspect of it. And, you know, a lot of areas are really problematic. Hunters play a very, very, very important role and you know, in herd management and keeping the deer herd in check.
Yes. Well, we would like to thank you guys for tuning in, and hopefully we can get you guys to come back and talk about that DVD when you has everything been completed with the first installment or anything of that nature?
We're still in the beginning phase, and that's why we're saying that pretty much, you know, we're any help that anybody can offer us or any help that anybody can offer us right now, pretty much, like I said, we're still in the beginning phase of with the DVD and everything. And like I said, hopefully by after next year sometime it will be completed and be ready.
Could you give us the name of your company, contact information, website, so everybody, if you got any people out there that would like to hunt, y'all go ahead and make sure you hit these brothers up right here.
Exactly. Right. Okay, our company name is Impulse Hunting, and our phone number is 662-312-7472, and we have an email, which is Mississippi, spelled out, the word Mississippi, the number 14, at hotmail.com, and you can give me your number.
Okay, yeah, my number is 404-861-0395. And also, I can be reached at Ben Rush Rush Jr. at gmail.com.
Any help that anybody can extend, even if it's just somebody that has land that's overpopulated with deer needs, you know, we'll be happy to come to your wherever you are in the United States and take care of that problem for you.
Hey, we'd like to thank you guys once again for calling in, and hopefully, man, we would like to see much success and see you brothers on TV very soon.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Appreciate it. All right.
Jen.
Yes.
We ain't got no way to kill tofu. So we sorry.
I know. Like the poor deer. Like, how can you do that? Like, oh my goodness. Like, you know what? One thing that I thought was pretty cool is that they hunt with bows. I just read this, like, awesome book. Was a series of books called The Hunger Games. And, like, they hunted with bows. So, like, I thought that was, like, super cool and interesting. However, I don't know about killing deer. Like, I just, my heart can't. I can't do it.
All right.
Have you ever seen the front of an El Dorado after a deer ran into it?
No, I don't think.
I hit my mama car, and I think I shot that deer about 8 times. Yeah.
And it's hard because those are some tough animals. Like, seriously, you know, I've seen a couple of them take a couple of shots and keep going.
Yeah, that's why I had to shoot him 8 times, man, because, you know, he hit the side of the car, and I think he probably broke his neck or legs or something. And he was just in the middle of the road, and all that. I just, pop, pop, pop. I shot him up, man.
Hate crime. So for Kevin Court. The state troopers that were looking for the murderer of that young deer, his name is Kevin.
Hey, man, we have some great guests today, man. We appreciate everybody that did tune in with us today on this spotlight of black businesses. Go back and listen to this show if you need any of that contact information or you want to spread it to somebody that definitely can use it. Make sure you go back and download this show. It is downloadable. Spread it through an email or whatever the case may be. And let them know, hey, these are businesses that we need to support. Brother Al, go ahead. Take it over, bro.
Most definitely want to appreciate everybody for tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show today. Today we introduced and spotlighted three black entrepreneurs, which was Hiawatha Harrison with Global Pharmaceutical Company. His web address, Kevin, is www.gpcms.com. So if you all are in need of any type of therapeutic pharmaceutical equipment, make sure you go and check out his website. Also, we interviewed Samoan Greenwood and also his father and also his mother. They have their own company, Sendit Creations, and they are based in Jackson, Mississippi. They have two locations, and make sure if you all are ever in the Jackson, Mississippi area, go to the North Park Mall and go by their booth. They got some great stands. And our last guest of the day was Rodney Johnson and also Benjamin Rush for Impulse Hunting, two young black entrepreneurs in the hunting realm. So that's something that you don't see a lot. So we have some interesting people today, and it's like I said, this is something we're going to do every now and then, and probably on some special shows. We're going to introduce some young or just black entrepreneurs in general. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Middleman Show today. Make sure you tune in to Talk of the Town with Nick Eden this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. And we
yes, sir. And this Thursday, we're going to go ahead and give them the topic right now. This Thursday's show is Am I Hot or Not? Everybody says they are ready to be in the music game. But we're going to sit there and we're going to talk Thursday about, are you really ready? Can you really handle it? Are you hot enough?
A lot of people can't handle it, man. A lot of folks can't. They don't know what they're getting themselves into. They really don't.
They hot like 3 sixes.
Boy, stop.
Wow.
Make sure y'all tune in next week to the Middleman Talk Show. Again, same time, same hour, same website, same Middleman show, same Middleman hosts. Everything the same, man. The topic different, but we're the same people.
Yeah, topic different.
That's right. Every week, Sunday. And we start on time, man. 5 p.m. Central, not 6 p.m. Central. 6 p.m. Eastern time. We still got to clear that up, man. We've been doing this for 2.5 years. And folks still coming in at 6 o'clock mark. It's cool, though. It's cool, though.
Joe Jackson.
It's cool, though.
And he let it Joe Jackson on, didn't he?
I mean, I feel like they need to get the sound. You know, do they need to get the sound today, G?
No.
He
got his Travis Smiley on today.
Yeah. Joe Jackson.
Here we go.
Didn't I tell you to
do the
comedy bus?
Here we go. Man, let's take it out, man.
Bye, buddy.
Me and Shouty. beat Chris Shiah. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, here. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Hey, man.
Yep.
I'm going to go out and I'm going to shoot me a bear.
No.
Bear? You trying to get that rug up in the house?
Yeah, man, I want it live and direct. A little blood on the cheek.
Ooh, wait. Oh, gross.
I know some Mexicans that'll get that joke for you.
Man, have you ever seen them cheddar mannequins?
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
No. Have you seen when a black bear tear up the car?
Yeah.
Man. You give me one of them.
Hey, man, real talk.
Hello, wow.
Real talk. Nick, what in the world you doing hunting, man?
I know, right?
You just, your hand's too soft to be hunting.
Man, Nick,
what the hell?
Man, dude, I come from a military family. We've been handling guns all our life, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on my uncle to give me his Desert Eagle 44 Magnum. Boy, that thing pounds.
Are you like a 007 or something? You got like a secret life,
man.
Now you're a hunter?
I know.
Nick probably is.
Nick, hey, you talking about me being down with the NRA? Yeah, buddy. Tell on yourself.
Right.
Nick,
hell
no,
no NRA,
no
regulations. No, sorry.
Nick, you're down with the NRA.
Just saying. If I had one right now.
Ow.
That's why that's all
you
got to call shotgun.
Nick was up in Colorado.
Nick is the wilderness man. That's why he was up there in them hills all the months on air.
Right.
The wilderness
beard.
Man.
With the beard.
Bald head.
I'm growing my beard back. Y'all can leave me alone. After I get through filming. Oh, let me tell y'all. In 2 weeks, I'm shooting a pilot for a reality show. The one we were talking about offline. So everybody knows, we can go ahead and make the announcement now. RnBLover.com presents the Rhythm and Body Fitness Challenge. So after we shoot the reality show, it's going to be 10 weeks. I'm growing my beard back. I miss my beard.
Yeah, I need mine back too. But I ain't going to do the day.
You're
going to
grow it, man. You're going to grow it like a Teddy B. Barry White.
Damn.
How you going to look?
Hey, man, it's another one, man. It's another one up, another one down for y'all. Get too carried away. We appreciate everybody that stayed on the line and listening with us this Sunday. Make sure you're tuning in again and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Let's
see, it's going down. Middleman Talk Show. If you don't, this is what we going to do.
Put the motherfucker on the face!
A little delay on that, but that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
Kevin, you slipping.
I know.
Hard.
Yes, yes. We got
it. Yeah.
We out.
Need to work on that.
I know. Done.